Early last spring, the stewardship committee met and began exploring how we'd approach the fall campaign this year. In the midst of those discussions, we noted a few things. One was that what drew us all here was the character of an intergenerational community that was deeply committed to caring for each other and caring for the world that we live in. Yes, that's our mission statement, deep in faith, rich in love, bold in mission. Two, that deep commitment has led many of us to support this place, giving a percentage of our incomes as well as our time and talents to the ministry of this place. And finally, we acknowledge that as our commitment to Emmanuel continued to deepen and grow over time, so did our giving. So did our generosity. The nature seemed part and parcel to this. In fact, it's evident in all relationships. Deep commitment leads to deep giving. So we decided that we wanted to ask the entire congregation to join us in wrestling with our relationship with Emmanuel, to wrestle with our commitment, to wrestle with our giving. And that's why this year's theme got formed, Together Met, Together Bound. As I left one of those meetings months ago, I was reminded of a story I shared with you early in the days of my ministry with you. It comes from Nico Kazantzakis's spiritual autobiography. That book is called Report to Greco. You may remember Kazantzakis as the author of Zorba the Greek and the infamous The Last Temptation of Christ. Well, in Report to Greco, he writes about his travels as a young man. And in one particular chapter, he talks about his visit to a monastery in Jerusalem. It is there that he encounters a priest named Joachim. One night at the monastery, after Vespers and all the other monks had retired to sleep, Kazantzakis visited Joachim. And they spoke to each other early into the morning. And Kazantzakis opens up his life to this priest. In the midst of it all, he tells the priest that he's guilty of what he refers to as a heresy of faith. The heresy in which he believes himself guilty of, he calls being always uneasy. Kazantzakis tells the priest, "Since my childhood, I have always been battling. I've always been wrestling. I've always been uneasy." "Wrestling," replies the monk, "battling with whom?" "Battling with God," Kazantzakis replies, his eyes lowered so as not to look at the priest. The old man just sat there, staring at him without speaking. And finally, Kazantzakis asks him, "Could this be a disease, Father? How can I be cured?" "May you never be cured," the monk replied. And he raises his hands to silence. For a moment or two, they sit in silence, and then Father Joachim continues. Temptations come to us very often here in the desert. "One night I had a strange temptation in my sleep. In a dream I saw myself as a great sage in Jerusalem. I was sought out for my wisdom. It was known throughout the land that I could cure diseases. But first and foremost, I was famous for removing demons from the possessed. People brought patients to me from all over Palestine. And then one day, Mary, the wife of Joseph, arrived from Nazareth. She brought with her 12-year-old son, Jesus. Falling at my feet in tears, she cried out, 'Illustrious sage, take pity on me, heal my son. He has many demons inside of him.' So I had his parents go outside, and And I alone remained with Jesus. In the room of that house, I took his hand in mine and asked him, "What's the matter, child? Where does it hurt?" "Here." "Here," he replied, pointing to his heart. "What's wrong with you?" I asked. "I can't eat. I can't sleep or work," Jesus replied. "I just roam the streets wrestling." "Who are you wrestling with, my son?" "With God," Jesus said. "Who else?" Father Joachim paused for a moment and then continued, "Well, in my dream, I keep Jesus with me for a month. I dressed him ever so gently. Each day, I gave him herbs to settle his stomach, to help him sleep. I placed him in a carpenter shop where he could learn to work with his hands and learn a trade. Early in the morning around sunset, each day, we'd take walks together. During those times, we'd talk about God. We spoke of God as though he were a friend or a neighbor who came to sit with us on the doorstep and chat. We talked about the weather. We talked about the wheat fields and the vineyards and of the young girls who went to and fro from the fountain. At the end of a month's time, Jesus was completely cured. He no longer wrestled with God. He had become a man like any other man. And then one day he left me and returned to his home in Galilee. Later, I learned he had become a fine, fine carpenter. In fact, he was said to be the finest carpenter in all of Nazareth. Father Joachim paused and then looked at Cousin Zacchaeus, the young man who stood before him. And then he said, "Don't you see, in my dream, Jesus was cured. Instead of wrestling with God, I cured him. Instead of saving the world, Jesus became the best carpenter in all of Nazareth." Cousin Zacchaeus' story tells us something about the dynamic of faith. He speaks of his own wrestling with God in one breath, and Jesus' wrestling with God in the next, as if this battling, this always wrestling, this always being uneasy, was simply a core to the fabric of human living. It was as central to Cousin Zacchaeus' faith and to Jesus' humanity as Jesus' divinity was central. In this, I think Cousin Zacchaeus and the monk were on to something. They had it right. For if you take the uneasy wrestling of our lives out of our lives, something significant is in fact lost. Jesus' wrestling is echoed in his cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And without that, the full meaning of Jesus' passion and resurrection would in fact be lost. This always being uneasy, this idea of battling, of wrestling with God, is not new to the report to Greco. It's found in Genesis, where Jacob wrestles with God through the night by the river Jabbok, and through the encounter comes face to face with God and receives a blessing. And Jacob's not alone. Moses and Samuel and Jeremiah and all of the prophets in the Old Testament wrestled with God before they accepted their call to speak to Israel. Throughout the New Testament, all who followed Jesus wrestled with God in their life and in their ministries. They wrestled, and like Jacob, they encountered God. And friends, we are no different. If we're honest, I believe we all wrestle in some way, shape, or form with God. We battle. We are uneasy with how to be faithful to God, with how to live a life that's faithful and true to the gospel. We wrestle with things that are very personal about our relationship with God. And we wrestle with how to be in relationship with family and friends and neighbors in ways that are more public as we wrestle with God. It's this very nature of baptized living that we invite Mitchell at the next service to join us. As we baptize him, we'll be inviting him in to such an uneasy life. And as a parish family, we wrestle. We wrestle with our corporate mission. We wrestle with our ministry in the community. We wrestle with prioritizing program, budgets, activities as we seek to serve the world. This morning, I believe Kazantzakis' story can serve as an invitation for us. Today, as we enter the days that surround our fall campaign and lead up to our pledge in-gathering on November 8th, I ask you, wrestle with your faith. In a very particular way, wrestle with it. Wrestle with your stewardship in the world as a part of your faith. Wrestle with your commitment to this parish. Wrestle with your hopes and your dreams of what this place could be. Wrestle with how you can help Emmanuel become more and more the community that is bound together in love of God and neighbor. Wrestle with your money, with how it reflects what's truly important in your life. Wrestle with the meaning of your ministry as a steward of God's precious gifts that have been given to you. Be uneasy. Wrestle. For in wrestling with God, your passion, your commitment, your faith will grow. Wrestle with God, for in doing so, you will be blessed. Amen.